When that gold line coffee hit the back of your throat, you got four delicious flavors. This ain't your grandma's pit water. This is gold line coffee, and it is the official coffee of hockey.
We got some news to let you know here. The Great Canadian Hockey Show, Kyle. It's fucking dead, man.
Yeah, it is dead and buried, tossed to the side of the road like one of Ray's piss jugs. Never going to see it again.
Absolutely never going to see it again. The boys are hopping on full press coverage. Wicked Sports site. It's going to be a time, man. Kyle's going to be writing some articles for Tampa. I'm going to be writing some shit for Boston. We're going to have a podcast, which is going to be a lot easier for you guys to get a hold of, and other content as well. Kyle, fucking speaking of things that are dead, NHL consistency was brutal tonight.
NHL consistency. Chrissy, you would go there. How many power plays did the Bruins have in the game?
It's not about that. It's about...
It is.
I'm not talking about just Boston. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the consistency throughout the entire game.
Chris, if you've watched the playoffs the past 5, 6, hell, even 10 years, you know that in the playoffs, it's not about calling the game right. It's about calling the game fair. And you're going to see shit let go based on how many calls have been made and who had the last power play. And unfortunately, that's the way the game is. That's what happened today.
That's not how it should be. That's terrible. That's why they run into this shit.
Ten penalties on one team when there's a bunch of different shit they're letting go on the side. It has to be evened out if they're going to let shit go.
Why does nothing change? Why is it so easy? Why is it so easy to sit here? Why does nothing change?
The problem is the game is too fast. Every player going after every player on every whistle, on every play, on every draw. There is no standard the refs can set that they can call throughout the entire rest of the game. It's not possible. And call it refs letting go of a game or refs not setting the precedent early enough to let players know what is not going to be tolerated. I just don't think there's going to be an easy fix to this. And unfortunately, that's just the rampant road of the NHL reffing. And I don't think there's any other options. Chris, the NHL kicked all the other refs out.
Would you say that it's the way of the road, Kyle?
I think I would.
All right. So, guys, 3-2 St. Louis Blues win. And Kyle, earlier today, you said you thought 3-2 Boston. What did I say?
3-2 Blues.
I said 3-2 Blues. Mystic Mancuso always on point with his score projections. I just had a feeling tonight, man. This team is too damn good. And you saw that was hard-hitting hockey, man. This is going to go
by one team.
Hard-fought 6-7 games, man. There was no way Boston was going back 2-0. Just like I'll guarantee it right now, there's no way St. Louis is coming back 3-1. They're going to split there, too. This series has the fucking distance written all over it.
Yeah, call the teams, they're twins, obviously from the Boston of the East and St. Louis out of the West. They do have some similarities, but if you ask me, there was one team that was hitting, and that was the St. Louis Blues. They were finishing every check. Grizzlick had that unfortunate turn into the boards. Chrissy, I don't know what the fuck he was doing. It's a boarding penalty for sure. In my books, that hit on Grizzlick was not a 5 minutes. Grizzlick does have to bear some of the blame there.
He does, but listen, this is why it's 5 minutes for me. He had almost a second, and Nick Kypros did it
a second in NHL real time.
He decided he could have hit him on the right side. He went to the left side where his head was. He turned at the last second to make sure he got contact on his head. Nick Kypros had a really good breakdown.
Fell awkwardly into the board. There's still some blame there. He put himself in a very vulnerable position in a game where every check has been finished. Grizzlick has to know what's coming.
He could have hit him on the other side. The problem is he was coming in from the right, and he went and hit him on the left.
Chrissy, I will say I'm going to disagree with you there. I think 2 minutes was the right call.
Well, what if Marchand would have done it? You wouldn't disagree.
I would have been yelping at the guy for turning his head when
not. No, you would not have. There's absolutely no way you would have. It's impossible that would have.
If Marchand did it, there wouldn't be a call. That would be the difference.
Oh, yeah, there would. He would have got five in a game. He would have got five in a game, guaranteed.
Oh, shit. Chrissy, the only reason I said 3-2 Bruins today is because I've never been right in the playoffs before.
Moving on, big win tonight for the Blues. They're right back in it. And like you said, they were bringing it all night. They had 50 hits to the Bruins, 33. It started out, it was kind of the polar opposite of game one, where Boston came out and looked like they were going to have it all. And Boston really struggled out of the gate the last game, right? And it just...
Yep. Complete
the tides off. Turned and the tides turned again, and that's because, like you said, these teams are so comparable, it's so close. Anybody who thought that this was going to be a 5-game series or some shit like that, like, welcome to reality, man. These are big boy teams. These are the two best teams left. I don't care that everybody got out in the first round. The way these teams played tonight and the passion that they're putting in and the hard play, this is a Stanley Cup final, and it's only going to get nastier and nastier.
Absolutely. Speaking of nasty, Chris, I know it's one name you're not going to like hearing, but man, is Sammy Blais a player? I really like what he brings to the table for the Blues. He is just on everything. He wasn't supposed to be known for this guy when he was in junior. This guy was a playmaker and a scorer, and it seems like he's adapted to the bottom six life in the NHL, crashing and banging on everything, causing shit, stirring up noise, sending David Backes into an early retirement. He's doing it all out there.
Sending him into an early retirement? When did he do that? When he kicked at the end of the game?
Yeah,
that was that. That
kicked them down in the old man home.
Backes absolutely stood him up earlier in the game. I think he got the better of that. You know what was funny too is the Boston top line: Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak. They are ice cold. The good news is this kind of gives me that vibe like from the Columbus series. They went ice cold in that series, and it was just a matter of time before they figured it out. I think you could see that happen again. I think you could see them struggle again next game, but you're not going to keep those guys down for an entire series. I just don't foresee that happening. I don't care who's playing defense. They're one of the top lines in the league, and they're going to get going. How about the ultimate body tonight, Joachim Nordstrom? Like, the Gregory Campbell shift from hell, like, minus the shattered leg, but he was I think he blocked more shots in that sequence.
Absolutely, yeah. Joachim Nordstrom having the game of his life, all for nothing, but what an effort. And I think a lot of Bruins fans owe him a bit of an apology. There was a lot of guys saying this guy doesn't deserve to be in the lineup. There's no way they can go into the playoffs with Nordstrom. They need to get somebody else there. And this is a guy that's just putting his entire heart on the sleeve and blocking everything in sight. You've seen Clifton take one off the head. Corey Krug took one off the back of the neck. This is Stanley Cup Finals, and you're going to see everyone give it all they got to try to get Lord Stanley home.
I'll guarantee you this. At the end of this series, no team is going to have left anything on the ice. The best team is going to win this series. There's no question about it. Both these teams are putting pretty much everything they got into it. The game changed when Matt Grzelcyk came out. The Bruins lost something. It's way harder to go down 5D than it is to lose a forward, right?
Especially with Char, because that's... He can't handle those big minutes anymore.
He doesn't have the legs for it anymore.
God, he got outworked on the goal, and I know that was Marchand that bit, but he was still beaten by Schwartz on the rush there, the initial shot, and then you've seen Tarasenko sweep in and get that second attempt on the backhand to tie the game.
Yeah, that was a bullshit play by Marchand. Yep. Marchand put him in a bad position. He should know enough to recognize Char is out there and not to take off at the player like that, completely miss and then dog it back. That was awful. That was one of the worst games I've seen Brad Marchand play.
Chris, I wanted to ask you, do you think he's playing hurt?
Maybe. Well, they did that scrimmage, Kyle, that scrimmage game, and he hurt his hand in it, and he came in saying everything was fine. And then he came into the media the next day, and he had, like, a smile on his face when they were asking him about it. And I wonder if maybe he fucked his hand up in that game. Because, obviously, even if he broke it, it's the Stanley Cup final. He's going to play until the offseason, right? But tonight was any indication. Holy, he was bad. He had a bad game.
He seemed to mishandle the puck almost every time he touched it.
Something seemed wrong, and that would make sense.
He should have shot on that 2-on-1 he had with Bergeron. Seemed to be forcing the play a bit. Definitely right. I think probably one of his worst games of the postseason. And I think you're double right when you say it's only a matter of time before you can keep this line going. But you've seen it all over the game. When the Bruins had the power play goal, it's the second that the Bergeron and Marchand got off the ice and Charlie Coyle and Pasternak came back on the ice, that's when the goal happened. And yeah. I know it kind of happened off the rush. And I think it was Sundqvist that was kind of out of position there, left Charlie Coyle wide open in the slot, got that quick release off. That's the Charlie Coyle effect. You mentioned that, without those guys, without the Sean Corrales and the Charlie Coyles, this is easily a 2-0 series by the Blues.
Definitely, man, 100%. They're carrying the load right now. Guys, this is crazy, Kyle. It's not the Great Canadian Hockey Show anymore. The Great Canadian Hockey Show is...
I had to get the puck out of here.
This is the new podcast, man. It's the new wave. I just want to let you guys know that the episode is brought to you by Goal Line Coffee Company, the official coffee of hockey. Nothing better than that coffee, man. All other coffee, Kyle.
It puts Folgers to rest for me.
What do all other coffees taste like?
Piss,
dude. All other coffees taste like piss. They have 4 flavors: the warm-up, overtime, coffee night in Canada, breakaway. Put the piss water down. Go on. Reach out on Instagram. Reach out on Facebook. Goal Line Coffee Company. New e-commerce site is coming soon. He had to revamp it because this guy is a goddamn coffee master. And he can't keep this shit in stock, Kyle.
I'm going to recommend a new blend. All other coffee tastes like piss. That's got to be the blend name.
Dude, maybe we can get our own coffee through them. Where we get to blend the beans, like you and me. We go in and we fucking become like coffee masters and have our own flavor. And we'll call it fucking not your grandma's piss coffee. The puck out. We are having a time down here. And Kyle, I'm upset right now. The Bruins took a loss.
I'm upset.
50,000 on my head is disrespect, Kyle. I am upset. You know what else is disrespect? The way that the Leafs fans are talking about Mitch Marner on Twitter. You see that the tides are starting to change there. Kyle, is something going on with Mitch Marner? Like, he wants the money. It's show me the money time. It's full on Jerry Maguire show me the money time.
Here's what I don't get. There's been no release from camps. There's been no news from Marner himself, his agent, his father, or whoever else is involved in this whole negotiation process. There's been no news that's been leaked. It's been all the media turning the wheel, pressing the questions, and making the fans react here. Now, if you think that this was maybe designed and put out there to get a reaction from the media, from the fans, on what Marner's worth and how this contract is going to play out, I think that the answer's been loud and simple. Is that if the Leafs are going to have to pay $10.5-11 million, there's people that are okay to let them walk, take the cap space, take the four first round picks and run and sign a big free agent, whether it's Anders Lee or hell, even Artemi Panarin's available. If you can get him for 9.5 to commit, probably unlikely, but I mean, 9.5 well spent plus four first draft round picks. Like it's, I don't think the Leafs can commit the $11 million to Marner. I think that is putting yourselves in cap purgatory, paying 4 forwards $40 million. You are going to have zero depth. And what we've seen in this playoffs and every playoffs prior is playoffs is all about the depth. And you can't afford depth unless you're finding Kyle Dubas to be the next Stan Bowman that just keeps on turning out these late round draft picks, these 3-year ELC deals that he can flip the other teams and just keep new guys coming in. Unless you can produce that kind of environment in your farm, then you can't afford to pay out that much money while leaving your defense completely bare. It's just not realistic. And I think 9.5 is going to be the number for Marner. I kind of had that feeling earlier. I think eventually that's going to be the contract you see, the same cap as Kucherov, the same cap as Stone. Even though I don't think he's worth it, I don't think he deserves to be paid the same or more than them. I think that's going to be the final number that you see in the contract, unless he gets to offer sheet negotiation or territory I think that if a team, if this is worst case scenario for the Leafs, if a team offers heats him at 10.5, because 10.5 is a dollar shy of having to expense 4 first round draft picks. At 10.5, he only costs 2 firsts, a second, and a third. And I think any team in the league right now would trade 2 firsts, a second, and a third for a guy like Mitch Marner. I think that forces the Leafs to make an ultimate decision that's going to end up fucking them long term with that cap.
Yeah, $40 million in 4 players, and when one of them is Willie No Bangs Nylander. That's all I got to say about that. One thing, though, Kyle, that you were saying there about the Leafs, and it's true, like they just have such a bare back end. Jake Gardner is going to be coming off. Ozhiganov, I think he ran back to Russia. They don't have very much going on in that back end. Like you said, worst case scenario. And listen, Montreal Canadiens fans, I'm willing to never hate you ever again. How awesome would it be if Marky Mark and the Bicep Bunch goes out and fucking offer sheets Mitch Marner 10.5? Because Kyle, I don't know if you missed the report. This is coming from Darren Dreger. He was on Leafs Lunch the other day, and he said that Marner's camp is going to July 1st, and they plan on talking to teams because on the 26th, the legal tampering window starts, and that includes RFAs. So he is allowed to start talking with teams on the 26th, and he intends to do so.
Wow.
The $9.5 million contract you talked about, that ain't happening. They had their chance to do it last summer on July 1st, and Kyle Dubas fucked up with this with Nylander, and then he turned around the following year and fucked up again with Marner. Wanted him, they couldn't pay him $9 million July 1st last year, wanted him to go out and earn it. Well, guess what? He did that and then some, and now it's time to pay. His hometown discount left town when John Tavares signed. Why the fuck would anybody take a hometown discount on that team when they paid the Brinks truck to a guy who wasn't...
If you want to win a cup. You heard Pastrnak in his player interview yesterday.
Pastrnak's a different breed.
They compared him. They said, you're only making 7. He's like, I'm not here to make money, man. Probably the greatest response I've heard from a player. If guys want to win, you can't have 4 selfish guys. And to commit that much money to the cap, I am sorry. I do not think it's possible to win unless you have 5 excellent bottom 6 players that you can have on the cheap, or like I mentioned, guys on ELCs from the farm. I don't think that's in place to Connor Brown in a second. I just don't think the Leafs have enough depth beyond those 4 players, beyond and then that goes to say you got $40 million tied up in those players. Who are you going to go out and sign as a defenseman? You mentioned Jake Gardner. He's coming off the books. Mm-hmm. You're not going to sign a big UFA defenseman. You're not going to take on Jacob Trouba, who's been mentioned to be on the trade market. You can't afford him at that point in time. Muzzin's coming back, and Muzzin was a good fit with the Leafs. I like him there. I think he'll be very important to the Leafs winning our playoff round next year. But he can't do it by himself, and I think that a few Leaf fans are going to be expecting a little bit too much for some rookies. They want Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren to step into the picture next year, and I don't know if either guy is ready. I think that Sandin has actually jumped Timothy Liljegren on the depth chart, and I think that Sandin will see a good portion of time with the Leafs next year. But I don't think, you know, he's going to turn around and be a Colton Parayko in his rookie season and just absolutely dominate. So there's a lot of questions left on the table with the Leafs, and it's just going to be, I mean, because I'm not a Leaf fan, I don't really care. It's just fun to watch the fire tire burn. But it's going to be so interesting to see how that pans out.
Kyle, do you have a couple of drinks tonight, buddy?
I had plenty.
Yeah, the fire tire. I love it, buddy. I love the fire tire. Definitely not the tire fire, the fire tire. That's how I'm feeling right now. I had some stress beers tonight, and I want to tell you guys about a beer here. We're talking Locker Room Lager from Post Game Brewery. The boys at Post Game Brewing Company have crafted the Locker Room Lager. It's just for you. It's amazing. This stuff is all natural. It has no preservatives or additives. It's cold filtered, and it provides the smoothest taste all other beers taste like piss. No, I'm just kidding. Legitimately, though, one of the smoothest beers I think we've ever tasted in our entire lives, Kyle. Would you agree with that?
And you're missing the best part, Chris.
What's that?
Roll the tape in the pack of beer. How can you go wrong?
How could I forget? That's right. Every case, every 2-4 comes with a roll of tape.
Don't
know
be that guy in the locker room who doesn't asking have for tape every time you come there. You know, go buy a roll, or if you can't afford a roll, I know you can afford a case of beer.
I know people that can't afford their rent and can afford a case of beer, Kyle. Fucking get out there and get your tape. There is nothing worse than a Tommy No Tape showing up every week. Oh, anybody got any tape? Anybody got any tape? Go out, grab yourself a case of Locker Room Lager, enjoy the best tasting beer on the market, and get yourself a nice-ass roll of tape. Nothing wrong with that. Kyle, free agency and all that's coming soon. It's going to be like an avalanche here. We do have another great series ahead of us, five games to go, sorry.
Chrissy's lost on the beer trail, too.
Oh, we're on the beer trail a little bit. We are going to be having this all full press coverage. Great Canadian Hockey Show is dead. Kyle, I think that's all about, that's just about it for you and me today. I think that the N1 podcast has been going great, and game 2 recap. I think this is going the distance in this series, man. I think we see a game 7, and it's a toss up.
Yep, that was our first overtime Stanley Cup playoff game since 2016. So it's been some time, and I'm gonna go ahead on the record and say that this is not gonna be the only game that hits overtime. Lots more to come. We're going to break down the series as it is unfolds. And Chrissy, as you always like to say, keep your stick on the ice and your
cock out your pants, guys. This has been get the puck out. We had a great time. Thank you for tuning in. Cheers.